I have a passage of Scripture that I'm going to be using for text today. It's found in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Now listen carefully to the reading of the Word of God. Revelation 14, 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, write. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Now this is the title of the message. Blessed are the dead. Blessed are the dead. Now there are two remarkable things to notice in the beginning as these words come to John the Apostle on the Isle of Patmos. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. First, John heard a voice from heaven. John had his eye, if you'll go back to verse 1, you'll see that John had his eye on the throne of God. He was looking at the throne of God. And he said there was a lamb in the midst of the throne. So that voice from the throne is the voice of God. This is the voice of God saying to John, "Write, write. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." This is the voice of God. This is the voice of the Son of God, the Lamb in the midst of the throne. We have the voice of the Father and the Son declaring in unison, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Now, secondly, watch this. And then it says, "Yea, yes, saith the Spirit." Yes, saith the Spirit. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Yes, the Spirit said, it's true. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. The Father, the Lamb, and the Holy Spirit declare in unison, blessed are the dead. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Are any of us afraid to die? Well, yes. Quite frankly, yes. Do we tremble at the thought of dying? Do you? Do I? Quite frankly, yes. Does death appear to us to be an enemy? Well, now that you mention it, preacher, yes, it does. Well, where shall we go for encouragement? To whom shall we look for help? Not to one another. You can't help me. You've never died. You don't know anything about it. I know nothing of death. I read a column in a newspaper just recently about a man who was written by a man who had been very, very, very ill. He said, almost dead. And the doctor had said, not much hope for him. And he began to talk about what he experienced. He said, it was difficult on my loved ones, but he said, I experienced nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing for days. I knew nothing. He said, I didn't see any lights people talk about. I didn't hear any voices. I didn't see any angels. He said, I didn't smell any smoke. And made all these different comments, you know. He was near death, but he hadn't died. So that's no help to me because he didn't die. He didn't die. He was just unconscious or in a coma. I've never experienced death. So to whom shall we look for encouragement and for help, for an answer to our many questions? Only one place, and that's to the Lord, who did die and arose from the grave. And he said, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. The Father said, and this Lamb who died for sinners. And yea, the Spirit says, yes, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. I tell you something else encouraging about this. The Lord said unto me, write. Write this. Write it down. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write this down. Now, what is written by God's commandments is true. What God instructed the prophets to write is called the Word of God. Holy men of God spake or wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God said, write it. This is true. Write it down. Write it down for all ages and all people. Write this. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And I tell you this, what God writes is not subject to change. Because he said, I'm the Lord, I change not. It's not subject to correction. If anybody adds to anything written in this book, he said, I'll add to them the plagues that are written in the book. If anybody alters it, it's not subject to change, nor correction, nor alteration. If anybody changes anything, takes away from anything in this book, I'll take his name out of the book of life. Write it. It's always true. And then he said, write it. Don't just hear it. Don't just say it. Don't just repeat it. Don't just pass it on. Write it. Write it. Write it in the book. As Job said, write it in the rock forever. Write it. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That came from the throne. And the orders from the throne are write it. Write it. This is a golden truth. This is the word of God. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. This is the promise of God. No one else can promise that. No one else has control over death. God said, I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal. It's sweeter than honey. It's more precious than gold. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Write it in a book, God said. Write it on your heart. Write it for all people to read, of all races, of all generations, of all nations. Write it for all to read. For it'll calm your fears. It'll gladden your heart. It'll soothe your troubled minds. It'll help you in time of sorrow. It'll comfort you in trouble. It'll give you peace in sickness. It'll rob death of its sting and rob the grave of its victory. Write it. Believe it. Preach it. Rest in it. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Now I would have you consider these words if you're interested. If you're interested in having me go on, if you don't, just turn it off. But if you're interested in finding out some more about this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. These are the words of God. These are unchangeable words. Don't alter them or correct them or change them. Leave them just like they are. Write them. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Now, if you're interested in going on from there, we'll look at them carefully. First, blessed are the dead. This is not the philosophy of the world, is it? The world says, blessed are the living. God said, blessed are the dead. The world said, better is a living dog than a dead lion. Isn't that what they say? Better is a living dog than a dead lion. In other words, if you can stay alive at any cost, compromise, be a coward, better is a living dog than a dead lion. A lion who roars and seeks victory, better to be a dog, a coward, and go on living. God says to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. The world, you see, judges everything by outward appearance. The world judges everything by how it appears to be. But God Almighty sees things as they really are, and as they shall be forever. And therefore God says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. The world says, blessed are the rich, for theirs are the good things of the earth. God says, blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. A lot of difference, isn't it? Blessed are the dead. People of the world don't understand what I'm talking about, because the philosophy of this world is not the philosophy of God. You see, the world, here, you want me to tell you how the world judges blessings? The world will take you to a person who's youthful, who is healthy, who is wealthy, who is beautiful, who is popular, who is successful, who has riches. And the world says, now, that's a blessed person. That is a blessed person. That person has youth and health and strength and beauty, riches, houses, cars, automobiles, popularity. That person has everything. That's a blessed person. That's a blessed person. That's not what God says. The Lord God takes you by the hand and leads you into a quiet bedroom. There the family is standing all around a bed. And upon that bed is the body of a believer in Christ Jesus, a believer who's been made an object of the grace and mercy of God in Christ Jesus. And that believer has just departed from this life, been called home by God, called away to glory. And the face is pale and the eyes are closed and the hands are cold and folded across the chest. And the friends stand around the room and they weep. And the Lord, who takes us by the hand and leads us into that room to witness that scene, whispers in our ear, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Paul said, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. He said one time, "I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I really can't make up my mind which I want. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But," he said, "for me to abide with you is more expedient for you." Blessed are the dead. Now the world says, "Blessed are the rich, blessed are the young, blessed are the strong, blessed are the wise, blessed are the popular, blessed are these, this one, that one." God said, "Blessed are the dead." Now, who knows best? I'll leave that with you, the world or the Lord. Blessed are the dead. Now, I know this. I know this. I know that how much we enjoy certain parts of life here on this earth. I enjoy living. I enjoy my friends. I enjoy our fellowship. I enjoy my family. I enjoy my grandchildren. I enjoy my wife and my children. I enjoy playing golf. I enjoy lots of things. Lots of things. But these things are all temporary. These things are all the fashion of this world that fade away. They're just slipping away, slipping away. His presence and grace are forever. And when I leave here, when this old body grows so weary and so tired and so old and so feeble and so frail that God says it's time to leave here, it's time to move out of this house and come home, I lay aside this tabernacle of flesh and clay. And there's a building reserved for us, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And we'll lay aside this corruption and put on incorruption. We'll lay aside this mortal and put on immortality. We'll lay aside our weakness and put on strength. We'll lay aside our sins, put on perfect holiness. We'll be like Christ. The psalmist said, "In His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore." You talk about pleasure. You talk about joy. You talk about happiness. What we enjoy here, just a little taste of heaven, a little foretaste of glory with our fellowship and friends and family and the good things God's given us, these things are nothing compared to His presence. If His smile here is wonderful, think how great is His presence. For in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Blessed are the dead. Blessed are the dead. That's the reason our Lord, when He's going to the cross, going to die and go back to the Father, He said to those who lamented and wept, He said, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves, for your children." But now note the second thing about this passage. It says, "Blessed are the dead." But that's not the end. It said, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord." Now stay with me. Listen carefully. Don't leave me. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. It's not a blessing just to die. Oh, no, 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 no. It's not a blessing just to die. All of the dead are not blessed. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. That's very distinct, isn't it? When Balaam prayed to die the death of the righteous, "Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my end be like his. I don't want to die the death of the unrighteous and the wicked." Only those are blessed who die in the Lord. Now, multitudes of people die every day. Hundreds of people die every minute. Did you know that? Hundreds every minute. Somebody said, well, the Scripture says, "Thou carriest them away as with a flood. Someone said, earthly life is like a river, a deep, wide, swift-moving river, a river made up of human beings rushing into eternity, hundreds of them every minute, thousands of them every day, dying all over the world. Are they all blessed? Can we stand by that river choked with human beings plunging along rapidly towards the precipice of eternity? Can we say they're all blessed? No. The Bible doesn't say that. God doesn't say that. He says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. In the Lord, preacher. What do you mean, in the Lord? You know what I mean. They're in the Lord by covenant mercies, chosen of God and precious. They're His sheep. They're His brethren. They were given Him by the Father. Covenant mercies. Everlasting grace. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. This is what David rejoiced in as he lay dying. King David said, his last words were these. These are the last words of David. He said, although it be not so with my house, God has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire. God made a covenant. You know, the Lord Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. They're my sheep. My Father gave them me, and my Father's greater than all, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. They're in Christ by covenant mercies. And then they're in Christ by divine regeneration. They're born of God. They're born of the Spirit of God. It says, He came into His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the privilege to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, not of natural generation, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh. They were born of God. So, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They're in the Lord by grace. They're in the Lord by His sovereign will. They're in the Lord by His covenant mercies. They're in the Lord by regeneration. They're in the Lord by a new birth. They're in the Lord by an experience of grace. They're in the Lord by faith, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And you were sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise, sealed in the Lord, safe in the arms of Jesus. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The wrath of God abideth on him. God hath given us eternal life. This is the record. And this life's in His Son. In His Son. And if we're in Christ by divine grace, and in Christ by covenant mercies, and in Christ by regeneration, and in Christ by faith, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We're baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Christ is the head. We're the body. We're in Him. And where the head is, the body's not too far behind, is it? And then we're in Christ to continue. These people in Christ continue in Christ. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They didn't just walk down the aisle and claim to be in Christ. They died in Christ. They didn't just get baptized and join the church and walk with the people of God a little while and then quit. They died in Christ. They came to Christ by faith and they stayed right where they were until they died. They continued till they died. They ran the race till they died. They remained faithful till they died. Like the Old Testament saints, these all died in faith. They believed by faith. They came by faith. They continued in faith and they died in faith. This is not a fad. Somebody said one time, just try Jesus. That's not the way. It's not a fad. It's not a religious profession. It's a living union with a living God. And the reason blessed are the dead who die in the Lord is because they're blessed in the Lord. What He has, they have. What He is, they are. Where He is, they are. They're heirs of God and they're joint heirs with Christ. He's the heir and they're married to Him. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Now notice these words. That they may rest from their labors. That they may rest from their labors. You know, rest is not idleness. That's not rest. Rest is not ceasing from all work and all activity. Work is a joy. Labor is a joy. Activity is pleasure. We're going to serve our Lord God in the new heaven and the new earth. You know, when God created Adam, Adam was perfect, perfectly holy, walked with God, talked with God. He was holy without sin. And God gave him something to do. He had a beautiful garden, beautiful earth. He had dominion over the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea and the beast of the forest and over every living thing. And he took care of the garden. He had something to do. Work is his pleasure. Labor is a joy. Activity is pleasure. What makes work and labor and a toil, what makes it difficult is sin. That's what makes it a labor. They shall rest from their labors. They shall rest from their labors. This is laboring and heavy laden in sin. That's what we're going to rest from. See, the old nature of sin makes work and activity to be toil and trouble and labor. This body of death, the pain and corruption, makes life on earth a life of weariness and toil and labor. Because when we wake up in the morning, that old nature is with us to drag us down and depress us. And when we would do good, evil's present with us. And when we would praise God, He fills our thoughts with self. And when we would pray, that's a joy, isn't it? That's not labor, that's a joy. But He distracts us and makes praying a labor. Makes reading a chore. When we would love, He interferes. That's the reason Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me?" We will be delivered. That's the rest he's talking about here. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, for they rest. Oh, they serve God. And they've entered into a work that's a joy and an activity that's a pleasure. And what has taken the labor out of it is that God's taken the sin out of it. That's the reason David said in Psalm 17, "I'll be satisfied when I awake with His likeness." I tell you, this new heaven and new earth, I'm looking forward to it. I enjoy my garden, but this body gets tired. I enjoy my yard, but this body gets tired. I enjoy studying and preaching. I enjoy praying and worshiping, fellowshipping, but oh, the weariness of the flesh and the weariness of sin, and it becomes laborious. The Bible says, it declares that much study is a weariness of the flesh. And it is. And I'll tell you why. It's because sin drags us down, takes the joy out of it. We're going to be rid of sin. We're going to be rid of death. We're going to be rid of pain. We're going to be rid of all that. And our rest from our labors. And it'll be an eternal rest that's just full of activity. All right, last thing. Their works do follow them. Their works follow them. Now, their works don't go before them and prepare a place. Christ does that. I hear people talking about sending your offerings up to heaven to prepare your mansion, sending your good deeds up. He didn't say their works go before them. He says their works follow them. And their works don't accompany them to plead their case. You don't take... See, that's not what those people did in Matthew 7. "We preached in your name." They took their works with them. And God rejected them. "Depart from me." It says their works follow them. In other words, their works follow them to the praise of the Lord, who Himself brought them to glory, interceded for them, opened heaven's doors for them, went in before them and brought them in, and their works followed them and enabled men to praise Him, the Lord, who gave them the gifts and ability and talent to do those works. You know, when a man brags on a painting, he's not honoring the painting, he's honoring the artist. When a man brags on a beautiful building, he's not honoring the building. He's honoring the builder. And your good works follow you. They follow you to the praise and the glory and grace of Him who made you and me a trophy of his grace.